Bradford School and lead them in their chapel services. It was a pretty neat deal to get to go do. The kids, I tell you what, they blowed me away by how well they could sing. I mean, it sounded pretty awesome. If you've got kids going out there, be proud of their singing abilities, because they sure know how to do it. So, but it was a great day to go out there, and I was thinking about what I was going to preach on, and Andy, he said, well, we're in Matthew out there, so if you want to just do something out of Matthew. And I said, well, where are you at in the book of Matthew? And he said, we're in Matthew chapter 15 right now. And he said, we're at the story about the Canaanite woman. I said, well, that's fine. I'll just go there and I'll study up on it. And I'll do that for the kids. And then during the process of studying it, God always reveals something really good to you anyway. So I get to studying this and I get to looking at it. And I'm thinking, man, this is a good sermon. It would really apply good for the church to get to hear this. And it's a story that we don't think about too often, and it's got some interesting facts in it that are fun to look at. So if you would, and you have your Bibles with you, open up to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to be in verse 21 through 28. And then the title in my Bible says, A Gentile's Mother's Faith. And that's what I've titled this sermon tonight, A Gentile's Mother's Faith. So if you have your place there, let's go ahead and stand, and we'll read out of Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And it says, when Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came and kept crying out, Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely tormented by demons. Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples approached him and urged him, Send her away because she's crying out after us. He replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came, knelt before him, and said, Lord, help me. He answered, It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus replied to her, Woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was healed. She cried out because her daughter was severely tormented. You may be seated. Was severely tormented by a demon. So we see here these verses, a mother who was desperate to have her daughter healed, but there was some problems that were present as she sought the help of Jesus. In Mark, the same story, we see that Jesus didn't want anyone to know where he was at, so he was in this area of Tyre, and he did not want people to know that he was there. So he's trying to kind of hide out in secret so they could be kind of by themselves. But as it were, this woman sought him out. And as evidence comes, she did seek him out with great zeal. The first problem that we see in this story here, though, is that she was a pagan woman. And the Jews and the pagans, well, they didn't get along. She was actually, says here in my text, that she was Canaanite, and we know the stories go way back, all the way back to Moses, going to enter the promised land and the dealings that they were going to have with the Canaanite people. So we know that this rivalry with the Jews has gone on for some time. So and they really didn't get along at all. And that's true for us today. You know, God is a holy God, and we're really separate from Jesus. We're separate from God because of our sins. His righteousness and holiness is above us. And when we come to Jesus, at first we were all unrighteous. And we see here this first problem she had that same problem. She was a pagan. She was a sinner. That second problem that we'll see tonight in this passage is that when she cried out to Jesus, what did he do? He didn't answer. And it wasn't because he was being rude. I'll tell you that much. It was done for this purpose right here, to test her faith, that she might be shown it might be shown to the disciples as an example of the effects of persevering supplication. So that's her problem was that Jesus didn't even answer. Now, isn't it great that we see that Jesus always uses the stories around him, the people around him, to teach, to continue to teach. And as we dig into God's Word, these new things start popping out at us. The deeper you start studying a text, or you don't realize what's going on here. And, you know, and if I had not dug a little bit deeper into this, I would have read over some of this passage in here. And it'll get more plain as we get down here a little bit further. But it's just really neat to see how God works in our lives when we dig deep into the Word of God. And this is how we come to an understanding of God and see how Jesus is God in flesh. Now, have you ever been in a situation, though, that you asked for something and you didn't receive a reply? Just like this lady here. She's asked for something and you didn't even answer her. Now, have you ever prayed for something repeatedly and not got a reply? Did you give up? The third problem we see is that she was creating, it says there, quite a spectacle. Now, I told the kids there this morning or this afternoon, I said, have you ever been in a situation where you were with somebody who was acting out? Youth, I don't know, sometimes you've got that one kid in the group that just starts acting out, and you're just kind of over here going like, we're not with him. It's the same way with our brothers and sisters. They start acting out, and the first thing we're doing is, well, they're not with me, and or you're embarrassed about your brother and sister, and you want to move away from that person. And that was kind of what the disciples here, knowing that they were trying to get away and secret, not be seen, the disciples were saying, Jesus, just get her on out of here where she's not creating such a commotion. Even at ball games, we see somebody that's acting out, creating a spectacle of theirself. But she wasn't trying to make a spectacle of herself. She was wanting with all of her heart to get help from Jesus. She was crying out to him in a way that showed her distress, for sure, to say the least. The fourth problem that the woman had was that Jesus said he was not there to help the Gentiles. If you look in verse 24, it says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, he wasn't saying this to the disciples. If you read through there, you would get that inference that he was saying that to the disciples, but he was saying this to her. He first came to them. He came as their expected Messiah. This is what Jesus came to the Jewish people. He came to preach the gospel himself to the Jews only during his ministry. Afterwards, it was presented to the Gentiles through the apostles. And we know Jesus came to die for all men. Don't get that wrong there. He came to die for both the Jews and Gentiles. We know in Romans 1:16 it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, both Jews and Gentiles. But Jesus' ministry was confined mostly and entirely to the Jews. So we got four problems there that this lady's facing. She was a pagan sinner woman, and she was trying to communicate with a Jew. And she cried out in a way, and he didn't even say anything to her. He wasn't even replying to her. The third problem again was that she was creating quite a spectacle around the disciples. And then that fourth problem there was that he had not even come yet to speak to the Gentiles. But she had a pressing issue going on right there. She had a daughter that was in need of being healed. Now, would you have given up after Jesus' response in verse 24 there? I didn't come for you. I mean, he didn't say it that way. He said, I didn't come. He said, I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who he come to seek. And after hearing all that Jesus said, and importantly, what Jesus didn't say our mother here in these verses, falls to her knees and says, "Lord, help me." And if you got the New King James Version, I like how it says it better, because it says she fell and worshiped. She worshiped. And that's important to know, that she got down on her knees in front of him and worshiped him and said, cried out, "Lord, help me." Now, we was talking about the rabbit trap. Somebody was talking about the rabbit trap restaurant a little bit earlier, and it got to me thinking about Bill Rabbit. And Bill Rabbit was a good Christian man, and I sat with him in many Sunday school classes over the years, and Bill would always tell the story about being over in Vietnam. And when he was over in Vietnam, he said it didn't matter. He said, "That's where I was saved at. I was saved in a foxhole over in Vietnam." And I just always remember, he said, because he cried out. He said, "I can remember just crying out, 'God, save me. God, keep me safe.'" And always heard that there's no atheist in a foxhole. I've always heard that. And then when Bill told that story, I said, "Well, I guess it's right. It's true. There is no atheist in a foxhole." But he was in such a dire situation that the only thing he knew to do was to cry out to God to save him. And that's where Bill Rabbit come to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, was right there in a foxhole in Vietnam. Now, our mother, she was doing the same thing. She wasn't stopping till Jesus blessed her, much like Jacob did when he was wrestling with God. He was not going to let go until God blessed him. And through all that, of course, we know that Jacob's hip was wrenched, but and he had trouble walking the rest of his life because he did wrestle with God. But she was willing to do whatever it took to meet God right there, to meet Jesus right there, and to have her daughter healed. Cried out. Remember, when God doesn't answer our prayers about a specific need, it's likely he's trying to deepen our faith. So be persistent in your prayers for those needs. That would be one great point to take away from this right here, is to be persistent in the prayer for your needs. God sometimes will test us in our faith. The woman's persistence, Jesus replied, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, this is something I had to study a little bit. I'm like, what in the world does this mean? We're feeding scraps off the table to her dogs, is what I thought there when I read this. And it's not. And I thought, well, why does it say what it says? It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Well, he was referring to the children. He was referring to the Jewish people. He was referring to the Jewish children. What he had brought was for them. And it was not for the dogs. And don't get me wrong, Jesus' words here are not being harsh. He's not being critical of the woman, calling her a scavenger dog or anything like that. But the word dog in that sentence, what I found interesting, if you look at the Greek, it means house dog, little dog, even puppy. So it's something that means something a little bit more than just an old mangy dog or a scavenging dog. Yeah, and the Greek, I wrote that in my notes here. The Greek goes as far to say it was a puppy. He was saying he had to feed the Jews first. Just as parents are obligated to feed their children before they do their pets. Nevertheless, she didn't give up. She said, and this is a good reply here, she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Those are some powerful words if you just took in what we just laid down there back about the little dogs. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. But she said, "Yes, Lord, I understand that, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And who's our master? What table does he have? What table does he eat from? Even though the puppies don't get fed first, they still get to eat, right? They still get to eat. She was settling for what was left over. She was just settling for that little bit that was left over. But, and I won't get ahead of myself, and I almost did. She knew she was unworthy of the best food, just as we are all unworthy of that gift of salvation. Then Jesus answered her and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And your daughter, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. But Jesus here didn't give her what was left over. Oh no. No scraps were found here. Not in this story. He gave her that full grace, that full mercy, that full love and power of God in flesh. The healing power. The power of salvation because of her faith. Because of that persistence that she kept going and going and going to Christ and begging and pleading with Him to heal. It's just it's an amazing, powerful story when you start studying it. Christ is willing to fully give of Himself to each and every one of us to heal us from our sins and the evil that's in our lives. This woman didn't need the Lord's. This woman needed the Lord's grace, and she wasn't letting anything, nothing, stand in her way of it. And it's not the fact that she was a pagan. It's not because Jesus didn't answer her the first time. It was not because the others didn't want her around. It was not because of her pride, but because she believed that Jesus would heal her daughter. And her faith was rewarded because she was persistent. She went exactly where Jesus wanted her to go with her faith. She started with faith, and then by persevering through a series of difficult, intended tasks by God, He took her deeper than she ever intended to go. And her faith ended up being greater than she'll ever be able to do on her own. She got that healing faith. James 1 and 2 through 4 says, "Consider it a great joy, my brother and sister, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And what else does it say there? "And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may mature and be complete and lacking nothing." You know, we got a great God. And this is a short, I know it's a short, kind of sweet lesson tonight. But, you know, I think you've got to ask yourself tonight, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Are you willing to take yourself deeper into that faith with God? Deeper than you've ever been before. Are you willing to trust God even when He's not answered you yet? Have we been in that position where we've prayed for something day after day after day and we've not gotten it? Have we been in that position where we keep crying out, "God, why haven't you answered my prayer?" instead of continue to pray for the prayer that you had the need for? Sometimes we want to point out where was God in this situation, where is God in that situation. And sometimes God is silent. We may not hear Him, but it's all to test us, all to strengthen and deepen our faith through Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you're just one of those people that are just crying out, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Maybe you've not reached that point in your life where you've started that relationship with Jesus Christ where you can start taking your faith deeper with Him. Maybe tonight is the night for you for salvation to come. You know, I look over these nuggets of truth that are just in here that she knew who Jesus was. Even being the pagan person, the sinner that she was, she knew who Jesus, the Messiah, was because she cried out to Him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." Just an impressive line for somebody who didn't grow up believing in the Jewish faith, outside of that faith, reaching out to the one she knew was supposed to be the Savior. The Messiah came. And Jesus just wanting to test her faith by not even saying anything, not even answering, but just being there in front of her. And when he did reply, it was almost a bittersweet ending because I didn't come for you. And I think that's a real good point here because he came for everybody. You know, there's those that would say, that he only died for a certain few elect people. But the scripture tells us in John 3:16, he died for the whole world, for all. You know, and I've always made it a point in my Bible when I'm reading, I'll go through there, and anywhere I see that word, all, I'll put a circle around it. As Rob always says, it's going to look like a polka-dotted dress before I'm done. Keep going through the scripture, circling that word, all. You know, I want to end the service tonight right there with that right there. And I know that we've got prayer needs. And we're going to offer an invitation here real quick. Give you a chance to respond, give you a chance to pray. Our prayer list is not big, but there's a lot of needs out there. There's a lot of people out there that've got a need. And they're willing to cry out for help and pray earnestly for that help. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you where you're at tonight again with this statement of faith. Where is your faith at tonight? Are you willing to take it deeper? Are you willing to go where you've not been before? Are you willing to trust that God, even when He's not answered your prayer yet, are you still willing to trust Him? Maybe you're here and you're ready just to run to Christ and say, Lord, help me. These altars are going to be open up here. Trenton will be up here to receive anybody that needs to come and pray for salvation. But tonight is when salvation can come to you. Be like this woman who knew there was a Christ and knew He could help. And what did she do? She went and worshiped before Him. She got down on her knees and said, Lord, help me. If you're here tonight and you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need that kind of help. The altars are open up here. Trenton will be standing here. He'll receive you. He'll pray with you. We'll show you the way that Jesus can be a part of your life. If you're a Christian here tonight and you need help and you need to get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. And if you've not been faithful in that prayer life to come and pray and continually to pray in that type of prayer that He was trying to show these disciples in this story, He was trying to give them that deep understanding of what that persevering supplication looked like through this lady. If you need to come up here, these altars are open to come and pray. Do so. Well, we've been talking about repentance a lot, and this is a good time. This is a good time just to come and hit your knees. Cry out to that Jesus that has come and has died on that cross and has rose again and gives you that eternal salvation. The salvation that you can only gain through Him. To come and say, Lord, help me. What is that need you have in your life that you just need to come up here and pray about and say, Lord, help me. You might be praying for a job. You might be praying for somebody that's been sick for a long time, asking God to heal them, wondering if He's still listening. I promise you He's there, and He may be just testing your faith to see if you're going to give up. We'll just go a moment longer. have anything, you need to come up here and lay on the altar. Now's your time. Some have come, others are still coming. If you need to come pray, might as well do it tonight. There's no reason to wait. The altar's here. No better place to come and cry out to God than in your church. Just while we're in a time of prayer here, I just want to start voicing our needs. Greg Dennis, he's going to be going to see his doctor on Thursday about his kidneys. Cindy Mack's sister Debbie needs prayer. Keely and Plud Ross there. I know they're at the hospital tonight. They need to be lifted up in prayer. Randy and Loretta Ross. Many others. The altars are still got people praying at them, so if we could just have some groups, just go ahead and start breaking up in groups and start praying for some of these needs, these concerns. Me and Rob's going to be in revival all next week. We'd appreciate your prayers. Appreciate you praying for those that are lost that will be coming to that service, that God will intervene in their lives and lead them to the Lord. Bring them that salvation that they need. Let's pray for our church. As we grow, as we start firing off our Sunday school task to try to get more people to come to Sunday school. Pray about our Sunday school numbers. Pray that people will come and learn and be discipled.